Awesome. So, yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone, for showing up. Looks like we've got a good quorum here. I just wanted to give a little bit of background of, so I'm a mechanical engineer with Yaga. I've been with Yaga for almost a decade. Lots of experience with hydronic heating and cooling. And yeah, I want to give you guys a bit of a background of the company, but very brief. And more talk about the technology, but yeah, I just want to make sure everyone can see the video too. Just seeing a message here that no video, but so hopefully everyone else can actually see, because I'm going to share my screen very shortly. But more than anything, I want to show examples of how Yaga technology has been applied in buildings all throughout California. So yeah, might as well get started here quickly. So, okay. Okay, so, yeah, so Yaga's a family-based company based out of Belgium. Based out of Belgium, founded by two brothers in the 60s, been around for a long, long time. And we're really, I'm just going to go through this very relatively quickly. But we've kind of positioned ourselves as the leaders when it comes to hydronic heating and cooling. When I say hydronic, everything we do is going to be water-based. There's no VRF or otherwise system. Like, everything we do will have a water component to this. So when we're talking about this, it's like, okay, well, very little refrigerant will be used in an overall hydronic system where Yaga terminal units are employed. And we're trying to get to, like, you can see this this little chart on the right here. On the left, we're trying to kind of rid ourselves of use of harmful refrigerants. And one very powerful way to do that is to use hydronics as much as possible. This is a funny picture. Oh, John, what was that?
Can you make this a full screen? Because we can see the left-hand side of your slides.
Okay, let me just try that. I'm hesitant to do that because sometimes it pauses.
Okay. But, all right, well, all right, it's not the end of the world. We can, if this is the way to go forward then.
Let's see if that, is that working here? Yeah, usually it, darn. It slows the computer down way too much for me to do that every time I've tried. So that's why I'll go back to the, let's, is this all right?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. The last time I tried that, it computer slowed to a halt. But, the big thing, I found this picture, let's just show you here. I found this picture not too long ago. I still don't know if it's real or not. I tried to find out if this is an actual real thing where asbestos was actually marketed as like a decorative snow, where you just sprinkle asbestos all over your place. Well, essentially here, I'm trying to equate asbestos to VRF. Or refrigerant, where it's like, hey, in 20, 30 years, are we going to be kind of kicking ourselves for filling our buildings with refrigerant when it's kind of a dangerous substance, and if not used properly. So typical VRF system, you're going to have lots of copper tube, refrigerant piped throughout the space. If there's a leak, that could cause some issues. Yeah, this is like your typical VRF layout, whereas what we're espousing is more, actually the system kind of right here, the system in the middle of the screen, where we're using an air to water heat pump. I'm seeing this, and John can, speak a lot more to the actual, generation technology, the air to water heat pump. But a system like this has been very, very popular and is very efficient and not super dangerous. Like, we essentially have a very small amount of refrigerant in the air to water heat pump, and then the rest is just hot and chilled water flowing through the space. Yeah, I've got a few pictures of like a melt system in a driveway, but Yeah. So a refrigerant system is going to be something like you'll see on the far right, or hydronic system on the far right, refrigerant system on the left, where we have all these copper lines through the space. And there's a lot of labor involved with that, and definitely risk for leaks. You can zone the hydronics. That's what this is talking about here. What I wanted to show, so this is just showing like the overall system, and John can talk a lot more about this solution right here in other presentations where he's talking about the actual air to water heat pump, which he can provide. We're going to be talking more about the terminal units. So we're going to be talking a lot more next little bit just about these units here. It's showing some panel radiators and a towel radiator. That's not really what I want to talk about now. I just want to talk about what's more appropriate for California. So just clear the marker. Right. So, and I'll, can you let me know if you can see this little YouTube video, John?
Will
this do. On here? Yeah. All right.
Imagine having the perfect climate at any time of the year, whether at home or at work. The whisper quiet Yaga Brisa. The temperature is always comfortable. Plus, you save space, use less energy, and reduce CO2 emissions.
Yep.
This new easy works. The Brisa fan coil unit is powerful.
Is it not working there, John?
No,
it's a compact air conditioning system that's easy to install.
It's a good, you know, 1.5 minute video that we will send to everybody.
Okay.
If it's not working.
Okay. Okay. Do you want me not to play the video there, John? Sorry.
Yeah, don't play the video.
Okay. No worries. It's all good. Just a quick minute video, just showing the Brisa. What I wanted to show more here was, okay, actual use of the technology. So how, like, these are examples of projects where, okay, well, how we applied something like a Yaga Brisa, which is a very small compact fan coil, the Klima canals where they're mounted in the floor. So I'll just quickly load this one up. So if I go to the Yaga website, Yaga-Canada or USA, they both come to the same website. Immediately go to the product page, and you can see these fan coil units here. Let me just share my screen again. All right. Let me know if you got my screen there, John.
Got your screen. It's a full screen too.
Perfect. Okay. That worked better. So on the Yaga USA or Yaga Canada website, if I immediately go to products, I've got fan coil units, and then I have Brisa 12, Brisa 22. So both these fan coil units, these are all hydronic, like I was explaining before, lots of heating capacity out of these units. So the heating capacity is going to be stellar, and then they can get some decent cooling. So this is very, very small. And then up to 3 tons of cooling with this fan coil unit here. And then we have these trench heating and cooling solutions. So all the different trench options that we have that provide heating and cooling. So there's a whole, like, this really gives a pretty good overview of all the different, you can see there's lots of different trenches. Most powerful one being Klima Canal 19. Yaga being a European company, everything is metric in their names, but everything on this website is all in US units. So we have everything in BTU, everything is in GPM, CFM, like everything is in units that North Americans can understand. When it says Klima Canal 19, that stands for 19 centimeters deep. So that means 7.5 inches, essentially. The naming is essentially metric, but everything can be converted to inches easily. So that goes for the same with the Brisa 12. That stands for 12 centimeters deep, and Brisa 22, 22 centimeters deep. So then the question I get all the time is, okay, well, these are nice, pretty pictures. of all the products that Yaga has. What I find has worked really well is how they've been applied in projects all over California. So this was a project in Santa Barbara where they had all these wood, nice wood ceilings and lots of teak wood all over the place. And they were like, okay, well, how can we heat and cool this space using hydronics? We don't have the ability to run refrigerant all over the place here. And we have very shallow ceiling space. We can't really run ductwork in this space. So, okay, well, let's mount these Brisa units. So we have essentially in this room, there's three of these small fan coils all right up against that perimeter. And we have a supply and a return grill. So the air is, just draw this. So air is coming in this way and then out against the window here. So on all of these units. So it'd be hot air coming in and then cold air out in the summertime. So that's essentially the function of these Brisa units here. Beautiful house, obviously in Santa Barbara, versus another, bit more of a, conventional house. I like this picture because it actually shows how the unit is installed. If it'll open here, give me a sec, hopefully. So we have this Brisa fan coil up in the ceiling here where we have a condensate connection. So that's the condensate connection is always something, and this is what I wanted to touch on a little bit. With these fan coil units, hydronic units, it's like, okay, we now need to handle condensate. We're dealing with cooling, so there's insulation that needs to be happening on all piping. They would have to insulate anything exposed metal. And so insulation has to happen on all piping. And then we now also need to have a condensate line coming off of these units because the coil that's inside here, that's going to sweat. That's going to pick up any humidity in the space. And then condensate's gonna come out of this this drain. It needs to be sloped and then brought to a drain. That's very key and something that is kind of a necessary function of these units is that we have to have a condensate drain. We're dealing with water below dew point, usually typically 45 degree water flowing through these units for cooling, and that's going to generate condensate. The nice thing with the Brisa though is it's so compact that the access and the grills, so we would have this being where the fan, this is the fan body. So this is a really nice small 24 volt DC fan body. This fan body is going to be sucking the air in. So air is coming in through that section and then goes out through the coil. So it'll be out that way. Sorry for my funky drawings there. Essentially that's the function of this unit. The nice aspect of it is that it's a very quiet 24 volt DC fan. So it's a low voltage fan. You can run this thing off of essentially two car batteries will power this fan. It's incredibly quiet, so quiet that you can have it in a bedroom right above a living space. So this is like a children's bedroom here where they have that right above the living space and very, very quiet. So here they have the supply or return grill and then the supply. There's no access panel. So you can see it's just like a nice clean finish. There's two little grills. So not going to discount the product and say that you don't need any access to the unit. You definitely do, but that is the access is through the return grill. So the access only happens through the return side of this unit. You pull off that return grill, you get access to the fan. You're able to actually pull the fan out directly through that return grate. You do need to essentially run a vacuum over top of this every 6 months or so, just to clean that any dust that collects on the fan grating. And that's it. You don't have any other unsightly access panels, fingerprints all over the place. That's not necessary here. I've got some other examples of like nice clean install here. So yeah, really nice way to install, get some cooling in the space. This is going to give us almost a ton of cooling, about 8 MBH. So just 3/4 of a ton of cooling, each one of these units. This was a house in Lafayette. So in kind of like, I guess, I don't know how you would describe that, like Walnut Creek, just Bay Area suburb, I would say, to me at least. I'm based out of Vancouver, Canada, so it's a lot of big Bay Area suburbs. But yeah, really nice clean install with that. And then it's just another one that I like showing these pictures because it can show the whole system as opposed to just the Breeza by itself. Beautiful house in Newport Beach, California, right on the beach. I'll zoom into this one so you can see the condensate connection a little bit clearer. So the little black, the black pipe that's coming off the side here, that's the insulated condensate. We have a secondary drain pan right here where there's a little float switch. So you can see that the unit is built deeper into that ceiling space to allow for the condensate slope and that that secondary drain. So that's if the area of jurisdiction, they call for a secondary drain, this is definitely accommodated and possible. Yeah. And so then we have the return and then supply. And yeah, I don't know if you guys know Ike, but Ike was involved in this project. Very good sales engineer that works with John quite a bit. Then we have this like nice 90-degree boot that in the end, I'll show this down here, where they added the grills. So this is once it's all framed out, looking straight up at the unit. They have this sheet metal connection. You can see how the grills are wider than the actual unit, or the grill openings are wider than the actual unit. So if one needed to get access to the unit or pull the fan out or what have you, the grills are wider than the unit and longer than the unit that you can get in and get access to the hydronic connections, electrical connections on this side, and vacuum the fan out.
Cyrus, approximately what kind of extra space do we need for access?
Yeah, so typically we are looking for 6 inches on either side. So it's 6 inches longer than the unit itself.
Okay.
So here it was also in a pitched roof. So this was in a pitched roof. You can't pitch the unit too much at all, or else that condensate's going to overflow and pour out the side. So the unit is actually flat, and then we just extended the duct on the pitched roof sections of this house. So, yeah. And then in the end, you can see how this turned out, where they just have these two little grills, no access panels, and really good way to heat and cool a space, and very, very quiet. Just wanted to show just the system too. So it's like here they're using what's generating the hot and cold water. We have this air to water heat pump outside. And then the control mechanical system on the inside of the house with all the control. So I'm not going to go into these details with the rest of the mechanical system. This is something John can go over in future presentations. But this is the entire mechanical room. So relatively small mechanical room, and then very, very quiet and compact fan coils in the space. So, and then similar kind of setup. The thing I liked about this one, this was another house in San Francisco, is they chose to go mostly wall mounted. So instead of having everything mounted in the ceiling, I'll open this one here. They actually went pretty freestyle with this and mounted the fan coils right behind this cabinet. So here we have two of them right here. And that's the air is being sucked in underneath in this little kick space and then pushed out from the top. So everything is hidden right behind these cabinets. To get access to the units, you're gonna have to pull out the cabinet doors and get access to it. A beautiful way of applying Jaeger technology here in a wall-mounted application. And
Is there in between the Jaeger unit and the outlet?
Yes. So in between the, they did make a bulkhead, like essentially connect. Let me go back to that picture here. So in this space, they extended the ductwork. So there's just like essentially a plenum extending up to that unit. So let me just do a quick draw here. So yeah, they would have extended this up.
On the inlet, is there just a common underneath, or is there any ducting involved?
No, there's no ducting down here. This is just open. It would just have been completely open right here to that inlet. So it's and then the distribution of this too. So all control, very very simple control. They have a regular manifold. So this is not too different, if at all, than you would find from a radiant in-floor manifold system, except now you just have to insulate the piping. And let me show you a couple other ones here. They did the same thing with the Breeza 12. So when I went at the, when I was showing you guys the website here, we have Breeza 12 and Breeza 22. So the big difference between these two, obviously you can see the Breeza 22, it says up to 1200 CFM. So I can get some really high airflow out of this. Whereas the Breeza 12 is very small, 4.7 inches deep, but it has a lot less airflow. So the thing with the Breeza 12, this is a Breeza 12 here, very, very shallow. But you can see it's like right here at the top of the closet. And then let's do a quick draw again. So we have this space in here. That's the air return or air inlet. And then right at the top, that's where they're discharging the air. And there was a little 90 degree boot that pushed the air out into the space. So you can see there's not a big gap between the two. The discharge and inlet are very close together. The fan does not have a huge amount of ability to throw hot and cold air, especially cold air. It's not going to throw that too far. Can't handle a huge amount of ductwork. So this is really a terminal unit where, okay, that's where I need to place that unit. Like I can't duct it. Whereas the Breeza 22, that's a unit that you can now duct. So it's a small, it's still a very small fan coil, but in a situation like this, it's being ducted. That looks to be about like 7 feet. So they're ducting that unit to the discharge outlet. The Breeza 22, in terms of static pressure, so amount of ductwork it can handle up to 0.7 inches of static pressure. So that's a huge amount. Like you could have 30, 40 feet of ductwork, all these distributed bends, what have you, coming off this unit. And can conduct this unit effectively while still being a fan coil less than 9 inches deep. So that's the big advantage of that.
Cyrus, what's the 2x8 or 2x6 or can fit the 22 and the 12?
So the thing with the Breeza 22 is being like 8.7 inches deep. That's a bit harder to put, obviously, in a 2x6 space. Like it's not going to fit in a 2x6. But the Breeza 12, the big advantage with that is it's only 4.6 inches deep, so you can fit that in a stud space really easily. So that's the big advantage of that. Like the house that I showed you guys in Lafayette, those were all built in just regular 2x6 stud spaces, and yeah, works very effective for that. Let's close this one here. And then, I'll just show you a few more pictures of this one's a little bit of a different install. Where was one here? Yeah, this is, showing, the Breeza 22 with the condensate connection, how we have that condensate and then have it gravity drain coming out of the unit. So here we have a 3/4 inch vinyl tube, gear clamp, connected to, this is actually a little safety switch in there, but condensate tray on the right side to the clear vinyl tube to the rest of the condensate line. And then this is sloped to a drain, essentially. So that's really the crux of installing these systems, is handling condensate and making sure that you can handle it, handle the condensate effectively. That's really the crux of these.
The condensate overflow switch, you want to touch on that just a little bit? And what happens when
it
backs up?
Yeah. So we've done a few of these projects over the years. Actually, this one doesn't show it. I'm hesitant to open up a new tab to show it, actually. But this one doesn't show the actual condensate switch. Let's see if I'm able to do that here. One sec. We have a really nice install where I can show the what we've come up with over the years, where through working with John and the engineers at HSC, that we found that, okay, if we use like the Yaga solution is nice, where we have, let's see if I go to this plant prefab. Yaga solution of handling condensate's nice, but it takes up a little bit of space. Where there's an actual very cost-effective third-party, why is it not opening? Here we go. Excellent. Third-party condensate switch that's very compact, easily installed. And with that condensate switch, it offers a lot of flexibility with where we can mount that condensate and then handle and pass any kind of test. Okay, it's opening now. Just give it a sec. Sorry for the delay.
Well, anyway, Cyrus, the condensate, what are the options as far as where it goes out?
Yes. Yeah. So here's I'll just open this picture so you can see effectively on a wall-mounted unit. It's opening up here. All right, so here we have a wall-mounted unit. They're going to put a grill over this face and then a grill on the top. Right here, that's where the wall-mounted condensate tray is going to be. And then this is the rector seal condensate switch, the safety switch. So it's right over here. I'll find another picture where it's a bit clearer. Here we go. This one's perfect. So condensate comes out of this wall-mounted application right here, and then you can see this tiny little switch right here, where that is just mounted anywhere horizontally, so in a straight section of the condensate line. If this starts to back up, that's going to trip the switch and then kill the fan or kill the control valve, whatever you have. Yeah, nice, really simple solution. And the whole thing with condensate, so in a wall-mounted application, yeah, it's just got to come straight out this small tray, and then that's where it catches anything that backs up, is just this $50 switch. And it's very, very easily to wire this to anything. So, yeah, this is what we found has been probably the easiest way to handle any kind of condensate control. So, and this was a pre-manufactured home builder in Southern California. And I'll just show another one here where they have the condensate line coming out the bottom and then the other side. Everything is handed, like we can adjust the handing of this unit. So if we coordinate beforehand, we can say, okay, yeah, I'd like the condensate and the supply return connections on the left side, and then electrical on the right side. This is a nice picture because it just shows a really simple electrical connection here. Electrical is just 24 volt DC, so you do not need an electrical contractor to wire a Brisa 12. It can be wired by a mechanical contractor, controls contractor. It's all low voltage. You can put the live wires against your tongue, you're not going to shock yourself. And the other nice thing is control. So you see this little black box sitting above the unit. This black box has a small little probe that goes into the coil, and that's sensing hot water and cold water. So anytime that this little probe senses water below above 85 Fahrenheit, it's going to kick this fan on. Anytime that this little probe senses water below 60 Fahrenheit, it's going to kick the fan on. So it's a nice simple way of controlling the unit. You don't need to send, like, we want to make this as simple as possible. If we have to send all these control signals to these units and work with special thermostats and what have you, that's going to add complication and no one's going to want to use that. Whereas if this just makes it a nice simple way of controlling the unit. And all Yaga products can be offered with this very simple controller.
Iris?
Yes.
A quick question. How does one access this control? You mentioned that the access on a lot of these units are through the grill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. So on something here, like the grill will be extended about 6 to 8 inches. Usually we recommend 6 inches on this side here. So I'll show you that. Like on the house in Santa Barbara that we did, so the grill would have been extended just like this. Sorry, my lines are not straight at all, but grill's extended about 6 inches over on this side. And then this little black box is just, it's got a little holder that you would just pull up on this box, and then the wire length is long enough so you can actually pull up. You'll have to reach in, pull up on the box, and then you can pull it straight out of the out of that grill. And from here, you can actually modulate the fan, or adjust the fan speed, adjust the temperature settings that the fan would kick on at. So everything would just be just a pretty quick reach to get to that box. Essentially, that's normally how we recommend. And the same thing on the return side. So here you'd have the access. So you can see there's a, I don't know if it's possible to see, but that's actually a small little fuse. So these units have a small 1-amp fuse. If there's an issue electrically, you can actually reach into that fuse and see, okay, is that fuse blown if the fan's not turning on? Or you could reach in here to check the electrical connections. 9 times out of 10, it's the electrical connections that are have come loose, and that's why the fan's not turning on. So, yeah. It's that's typical access for this. Speaking of access, we have these other units here. I know this is kind of a dirty installed in concrete, but actually this is a fairly nice install for the Klima Canal. But everything is accessible, super accessible from the Klima Canal standpoint. These are products that offer some significant heating and cooling in the floor. So you can see like some beautiful finishes here. So this turned out incredibly well. We had no ceiling space to work with on this house. And we have some really, really nice finish install when it comes to having this mounted in a polished concrete floor. And everything is here. There's no duct connection. There's just supply return hydronic piping running to this unit. And all access is right through that top grill. So they're just gonna have the supply return pipe, and then they're gonna have 24 volt DC to that unit. All of that is poured in concrete, polished, and then there's the fan section and the grill. So it's just clear. And then if I go back to this picture here, the way that these in-floor products work, and this fan's actually spinning right now. I can kind of see it spinning in this picture. So this is a very long tangential fan. We can get these in up to 6 feet long. So it's a 6 feet long fan sucking in the air this way and then blowing out through the coil this way. And you can actually see right now there's chilled water flowing through these flexible hoses right now. And you can see some condensate building up on the coil. So like all right here, there's some condensate. And then underneath that coil, there's a condensate tray, which is then piped. You can't really see the pipe connection here, but that's piped right off to the side. You can actually see some water filling up in that tray right under here. But yeah, this is the real function of the Klima Canal. It's gonna be drawing air in through this tangential fan, down into the coil, and then straight out into the space. I typically see these installed right up against windows very, very similar to this is a typical, very nice install where the general contractor did a really good job of polishing the concrete here. So, yeah. So
on that climate canal, I noticed that there were shutoff valves inside. What's the current position regarding shutoff valves and units?
Good question here. So these were very, very simple shutoff valves, but current position on this is you do not need these. These are typically found on the manifold itself. So wherever your piping distribution is coming from, that's where the shutoff valves will be located. It's an extra thing to have an extra pair of shutoffs mounted directly at the unit. Let's just simplify this as much as possible and keep it at the manifold. Just have hydronic piping or PEX pipe running straight to the unit itself. Let's try to keep it as simple as possible instead of adding complication. And we do not expect the need to really have to shut this off and drain this this coil. Like, that's such a rarity. I can't think of a project in California we've done where we've needed to do that, to be honest. So, yeah. And then the thing with the Klima canals, so a unit like this, this is about a 5 foot long unit. You will need to have a few of them. So we're only going to get about a half a ton, about 6,000 BTU of cooling out of one of these. So to really cool a space, you will need to have a few of them throughout that space. So here you can see in this gentleman's living room, he's got three Klima canals all up against that perimeter. Each of these is going to be about half a ton. So here he's got 1.5 ton of cooling in this large west-facing window. So that's how much cooling he needed to actually adequately cool that space. Whereas if he had ceiling space, which he does have in the second level bedroom here, he, instead of mounting Klima canals all around the perimeter, he could just get away with one Brisa, and then this handles the cooling effectively here. So here he's actually got, this was a funky installation, but you can see they've got a drop ceiling. He's got a Brisa with an access panel. He's got a Brisa with an access panel down here. And then he's actually, because it's a drop ceiling, he's drawing in the air from that that connection. I don't know why they chose to have the air come right down on the bed, but that's that was their decision there. So, yeah. That's in terms of Yaga products. That's really what I wanted to show you guys in terms of the products themselves. So we went over the Brisa 12, the Brisa 22, and the Klima canal solutions. So there's obviously different sizes from the ones that were in that house that I just showed you guys, Klima canal 10, that's the smallest one. And then we can go to wider and then even wider units. Didn't really touch on this, but we can have the slim Klima canal as well, where they're actually mounted. I'll just show you guys a quick picture. Where they're mounted on top of the floor or can be ceiling mounted as well. But this has been a popular solution in apartments where they don't have the ability to cast them in slab. So then we'll have essentially this unit mounted on top of the floor with a front return and then straight up the top. Yeah. In apartments where you can't really cast them into the concrete, this isn't a popular solution for that.
I would say for a lot of retrofit applications, this is a good solution. Say, Cyrus, how many of the Yaga type products can be flipped upside down? You know, you like the configuration, but instead of going up and around, but you can now also go down and around.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. So a lot of these canal solutions, so if I just go back, they just, again, based on the condensate, so if I go to products here, just based on having the condensate, cannot have them, normally it's not workable to have a Klima canal, like one of these floor-mounted solutions mounted up in the ceiling, and then having that really slim trench kind of blowing down into a space. But with the Klima canal 19, so with the 7.5 inch deep and then becomes 12.5 inches wide, this Klima canal 19 I can have mounted in the ceiling blowing straight down. The fan is powerful enough that it can actually blow heated air down to the space. It can blow that heated air down 12 feet. So this is a product that we can have turned upside down, whereas these two versions I cannot. The fan is not powerful enough. We're just going to get short cycling of that hot air. So that's a good question here. And we're seeing this more and more where they want to mount this Klimakanal 19 in the ceiling. And instead of having two separate grills, like I showed you in all of those projects where there's two grills in the ceiling, this would just have one slightly wider grill. And again, all access is through this grill. There's no other need for access panels or anything else.
Is this an option for cooling when it's in the ceiling mount configuration?
It is, yes. Yeah, the Klimakanal 19 in the ceiling is definitely available, total cooling. There's, again, condensate is dealt with the same way that you would do it with all the other fan coils that I showed before. Sorry, John, another question?
The Slim Klima, we've been proposing that to Eichler Solution, where they have balance systems for heating. And just because there's no place to put heating distribution systems in this architectural situation. So it is an option for like the Eichler type home.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking at those solutions here where it's like, it does have that return grate on the front and you can mount this high up on the wall, almost close to the ceiling space. It does offer a lot of flexibility because it's a completely finished casing. You don't need to cut into the floor in any sense, and you still get the same capacity that you would get out of a Klimakanal 10. It uses the same fan and the same coil as a Klimakanal 10, just with a bit of a different casing. So that's the advantage of that. Don't mean to get too technical here. I know I'm getting close near the end of the presentation, but let me know, John, can you see my screen where it shows the Excel table?
Not yet.
Okay. Okay. Does that show up here now?
It's coming.
All right.
No, this is good to be this technical. This is program look online at
Jaeger.com. Yes. Let me see here. If you go under, if you go to thejaegercanada.com and you go under downloads, and I can also, like, this is, it's just an Excel spreadsheet we can share with anybody. But then if you go to the Jaeger selection model, and so you go under downloads and then tools, Jaeger selection model, that will bring you to this Excel spreadsheet. So I'll go to this. Let me just make sure I can share this one here. Okay, so that'll bring you to this Excel spreadsheet. I don't mean to get too technical, but it's a relatively simple Excel spreadsheet. When you open it up, a whole bunch of green and blue shows up in lots of different columns. If I just wanted to do like what I was showing you guys before, those units mounted in the ceiling with two grills, that's called the Breeza 12. So if I click this Breeza 12 tab, and everything is shown on the tabs on the bottom. So if I click this Breeza 12 tab down the bottom here, if I click that. So Breeza 12, and then now it gives you all the different built-in ceiling, built-in wall, Breeza ceiling. So I'm just gonna say, okay, let's do a built-in ceiling, Breeza built-in ceiling. So I just click on the sort column function, remove all the selections, Breeza built-in ceiling. It's going to give me all the different options for built-in ceiling, the different sizes that we have available. And let's say, okay, well, I only have the length between the joist spaces. I've only got, let's say, 32 inches or something. So I'll do 28.5-inch long unit. And then now you can see I've got four different models of that size available. And I'm going to do a two-pipe system, so meaning one single coil, two-pipe system, be dealing with fresh water, altitude is near sea level, And I'll have heat pump water temperatures. So I'll have 120 degree entering hot water. And then generally looking at around, well, you can change the return water temperature to whatever you want, depending on the flow rate. But generally 100 return, that's what gives us good performance to that heat pump. This is on the heating side. And return air, typically we'll have this selected at 65. So when it's mounted up in the ceiling in the on a winter's day, you're going to have 65 degree air coming into that unit up in the ceiling. And then, yeah, that's this will equate to this amount of BTU. So 5,000 BTU for this model and that flow rate, that airflow and electrical consumption pressure drop. So everything is essentially here in terms of the heating side. Cooling side, same thing. Chilled water temperature entering, returning, and then the return air. Generally in the ceiling in the summertime, I'm going to say about a 78 degrees return air is what we'll usually use as a selection. And then that's going to give you these conditions of output for that. So this is a really simple way of saying, okay, well, the product that we want, like in this length, and I can go longer still. So if I went to the longer sizes, and then I'll go to the taller unit. And here now I can say, okay, well, with these water temperature conditions, I'm getting 7,500 BTU of total cooling, 6,000 BTU of sensible. So obviously here, I'm gonna need to connect to some condensate drains because I'm gonna have about 1,500 BTU of latent cooling off of that. It's gonna pull out a lot of humidity out of that air. It gives you all the info in that sense. Breeza 22, again, right beside it. This one has a lot more capacity. It's a much bigger unit. Also has the ability to have this delta P, so meaning static pressure. So if we know we're connecting to a whole bunch of ductwork, we can have 0.25 inches of static pressure to that, and then that's gonna change my values when it comes to heating and cooling ability and CFM. So yeah, this is the tool that really tells you, okay, how much BTU I can get out of these units. And then ClimaCanal 10 or 8, ClimaCanal 19, everything is here. I'm doing a ClimaCanal 10. So I would say ClimaCanal 10, the smallest heating and cooling ClimaCanal, and 120, 100. I can adjust the fan speed. So, yeah. I will say, instead of having you guys navigate, if you're trying to make a selection, please don't hesitate to contact John or myself. We're more than happy. And like, I work with this tool nonstop. So I'd be happy to get a selection to you guys anytime. So, yeah. But if there's any other questions, that's essentially what I wanted to show you guys here.
Hey, Cyrus, Jacob Goose here in Los Angeles.
Hey, Jacob. It's funny. I got sent you a voicemail or tried to give
first half.
Yes, it's all good. Yes. Hopefully this was useful, but
it was useful. So quickly, I know this was that John already asked this, but the ClimaCanals can be placed in the ceiling. If I understand correctly, the 8 and the 10 and the 13 are possible to be placed in the ceiling, but they're effective for cooling only.
No. So the ClimaCanal 10 and 13 will not work in cooling with anything below dew point. So the condensate tray will overflow on those units.
The 19 is the floor ceiling model.
Yes. The 19 is the only one I can have mounted in the ceiling.
When I look through your product offerings, the 19 looks very attractive in a lot of ways, but it appears to be 14 inches wide.
That is correct. The 19 is very wide. So it's
you know how it is. The homeowners and the architects, they want everything to be invisible.
I'll show you some pictures here, seeing we have a good point. I'll just quickly load them up one sec. This has come up quite a few times where people have been asking about the ClimaCanal 19 in the ceiling. So it's, I'm sure I can share this screen here. It's been installed a few times already in California in the ceiling. technical difficulty.
Well, there comes a point where you put a 22 in the ceiling and a slot diffuser if that's what they really want.
Yeah, that's exactly. So here, you can see that in the screen here. So this was a Klimaknall 19 in the ceiling. So here you can see, let me know if you can see that there, Jacob.
I can, affirmative.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's the fan full return, section here. And then the air is going to be coming out. The coil is actually underneath this condensate tray. So that coil section's here and then air will be coming straight out of this section. So the only way, and then it'll just be one long grill that spans that 14 inches. So that's the Klimaknall 19 in the ceiling. Yeah. That's the only, and the advantage with this, instead of having two diffusers, is just having one. And, but it's now you're looking 14 inches wide. So that's the disadvantage with that one long wide grill.
And what are you selling as a 2-10 volt DC controller, or is John selling, or what do you guys, what's out there?
What do you mean?
One of the attractive features of these is that they have variable speed by controlling but between 2 and 10 volt
control. Yes, correct. Yeah. So good question on that too. So the one way we can do this is with no modulation. So we would just have the Yaga fan controller, where that's turning on the unit based on hot water flow or chilled water flow. That just turns the fan on at a set speed. And to be totally honest, when it's using the Klimaknall 10s or the Brisa 12s, that's fine. Like the fans are so small anyway, you don't hear them even at fans operating at 80%. And most of the time we select these at the 80% fan speed. That's fine, where they just turn on at that 80% fan speed whenever it senses chilled water. You barely hear them anyway. Whereas with the Brisa 22, having that 0-10 volt capability is quite useful. So there you would need to use a thermostat that has that 0-10 volt output. And there's lots of different options for that. John, I don't know if you have, like, I could rattle off like 10 different thermostat manufacturers that have a 0-10 volt output, but I'm not sure which ones John would necessarily talk to you about it. So it's,
you've also come out with your own.
Yeah. So there, we do have a Yaga 0-10 volt thermostat, that has Wi-Fi capability and, it's, and very cost effective too.
The issue we're having is, how to integrate the, heat pump control, with, a 0-10. So, I have to get back to you, Jacob, and we'll talk to Ike about how to do that integration. Right now we're just using HBX controls to engage the...
Oh, that looks interesting. Well, in my world, what's interesting, what's happening in my world is I have a radiant heating and cooling job, where I've got some kind of either radiant tubing or some Masana panels or something, mm-hmm. and I need some auxiliary cooling, and I need a dehumidification system. So the design goal is to do away with a dedicated dehumidification system, be able to use Yaga around the house for some auxiliary cooling, and also at high delta for dehumidification, and kind of cover the, and so this is what's emerging in my world, is these kind of hybrid, where I've got some radiant cooling, some Yaga, and I want to do away with the dedicated dehumidification system. And so
Yeah, so, and that I'm seeing that too, where it's like, okay, well, let's set this unit at a very high delta, so we're just pulling all the latent, so essentially almost all the capacity is latent cooling off of that Yaga coil. That's just pulling out condensate out of the space. And we've definitely done systems like that.
Right, and the Masana guys have a very expensive and very capable way of doing it. I'm just trying to explore what might be a little more off the shelf.
Yeah, what would be a simple, the problem with, well, not problem, the issue with the thermostat from Yaga is it how we can integrate that with a heat pump. And I think that's what John brought up before. It's like how we can integrate a Yaga thermostat with a heat pump, and then we'd be off to the races in that sense. I know it's doable because it's got a lot of, I just really need to look into that a little bit further. But, and this thermostat's less than $100. So it's, yeah.
The issue with integrating with a heat pump.
I can take that separately, Jacob.
Okay.
Say there's another spot. Cyrus, can you pull up a picture that shows the low voltage wiring junction area where we have the transformer and all that? So there's some clarification on how we supply multiple units with the same transformer.
Yeah, give me a sec here. If I can find that. Luckily, I kind of remember the projects a little bit well. So it's
I just want to get some clarification on things like that, because step by step, we got the plumbing, then we got the electrical, we got mounting in the ceiling, the floor, whatever. And I just want to make sure you touch on the points. And then, and lastly, would be where are the safe places to put the condensate? And we just go outside with it, or do we?
Let me know if you can see this picture now on the screen. You should be able to see it, but these are all, so this house had 27 fan coils, so 27 Jager fan coils all throughout the house, and I think it was that many, but each one of those fan coils was powered by one of these power supplies. So each power supply can handle numerous units, and generally, just to be safe, I say one of these power supplies can handle four Jager units, four Brisas, Brisa 12s. So this is 120 volt. So the electrical contractor is going to bring 120 volts to this. And then the red and the black, that's going to the Jager units. And so then the red and the black is low voltage that can easily be wired to the Jager units. And now this is all these power supplies are in one central location. These are an off-the-shelf power supply. Like, this is not something that, it's not unique to Jager, but it's just a off the shelf 24 volt DC power supply. And it shows that, okay, how we can daisy chain numerous Jager units off of one power supply. So you don't need to provide one power pack per Jager unit. That's excessive and unnecessary. So this just shows, okay, we can have numerous. With the Klima canals, Klima canal 10, 13, 19, I can have one power supply for seven Klima canals. So it's, yeah, you typically will only need one of these, and you can handle a long run of it. So, and then in terms of condensate, I'm usually seeing the condensate connected to a common drain. So it's going to like some kind of kitchen drain line or something. What I've been seeing a lot in projects is where they're asking me like, hey, I need to put a P-trap on that condensate line, and I need to have a big deep P-trap right at the Jager unit, which increases the depth of the unit in the ceiling. And it's like, well, no, that's not necessary. You don't need to have a nice, you don't need to have a P-trap going right at that Jager unit. The P-trap can go way down below wherever that common drain line is. You don't need to have a P-trap right at the Jager. So that can help minimize the depth of the unit itself. So, yeah. But, yeah. I don't know if there's anything else you'd like me to touch on there, John or Jacob or anybody, but it's cool because Jacob, we were just talking yesterday, and then you actually messaged my colleagues back in Belgium, who then messaged me saying,
"I didn't know it was in Belgium."
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So yeah, my colleagues in Belgium messaged me. I talked to them nonstop. So it's yeah, but yeah. So it's yeah. But that's essentially what I wanted to show with Jager. Hopefully you guys found this effective and interesting, and maybe you learned something about how we can apply some small hydronic solutions on projects where, and Jacob touched on, made a good point. Like, a lot of this is where we've tried to make it work with radiant floor or ceiling, and we just need some more cooling. We're not getting enough cooling. This now gives a really good option for that. Yeah. But, yeah.
All right. I just noticed Ike joined us.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I do.
Yeah. Sorry about that. You know, I'm on quarantine, so I